Blog Talk Radio.
Morning drip. We in here. Yeah. Yeah. Wanda. Yeah. We in here. The morning drip. Suleiman Bey. Yeah. March 1st. Yeah. The new year almost here, y'all. Yeah. Springtime. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. When the earth replenishes itself. You know, it go from everything is dead. You know, everything is brown. All the trees is bare. You know, then it's going to get green, blossom, flowers, new life. That's the new year. But, of course, the Negroes back some colors. The servants over here, we've been taught otherwise. Yeah, the consumers in the Americas, we've been taught otherwise. Yeah. So your January 1st is New Year's. How y'all doing out there? Yeah. Yeah, we just cruising and grooving. We're going to get into it this morning. Hope everything is all right with y'all out there. Hope all is well. Hope you're making it to your destinations. Yeah, get up. Get pumped. Yeah. Get your fluid in you. Whatever you do, get to it. Let's get ready. It's time to be industrious. You know, time to learn something. Put something to use. Something other than what we've been taught. Other than what we've been taught ain't got us nowhere. Yeah. Got to put something new in our craniums. That's what we're going to do here on the morning drip. Yeah. Once again, good morning to y'all. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Grand rising. However you speak in the morning. However you greet one. Peace be unto you. That's what Yahushua used to say, Assalamu alaikum. He spoke Aramaic. Yeah, so he that's what he said. Peace be unto you. That's what it was translated to in the Bible. Peace be unto you. So don't get mad at me if I walk up to you and say, Assalamu alaikum. You feel me? You got to understand, you know, who is who and what is what. So that's how that go today. We're going to get into the, okay, I thank you for that. Yeah, we got that situation cleared up now. We on autopilot with the iTunes. Yeah, with the sounds. We on autopilot with that. Just boop. Yeah, press the button. It's all good. I know it's on point now. Thank you. We're going to get into some income tax stuff this morning. I just want to be thankful. I'm just thankful just to be, you know, breathing and be able to bless, you know, the holy breath on you all. That's what it's about. It's about us living and learning, then learning to live, and then passing that demonstration on to ones under us. You feel me? So the ones coming up so they can get it in them quicker than we got it in us. And hopefully get some, turn some of that knowledge and understanding into wisdom. You dig? So that's what this is. I would be remiss to have a morning drip show, a Suleiman Bey morning drip show, without first and foremost giving all praise to the Most High Creator, Allah. And I will be remiss to not mention giving honors to the noble prophet, Noble Drew Ali. Yahushua come again. Y'all looking for Jesus. Already been here, done that. You wouldn't know what to look for if you seen him. You feel me? Because the image that's been given to us, that's what you waiting for, the great white hope. And it's not going to happen. That's not who the brother is. That's not who we are. We are not of European descent. So it's time for us to wake up and start understanding that. It's Romans. It's it's a different it's foreign affairs going on around here. Let me just say it that way. It's foreign affairs going on around here. You got to understand it. Just like each state is foreign to each other, we foreigners, that means we have a different language, a different culture, and we got different bylaws too. So we got to make sure that people is being held accountable. And that's the misunderstanding that we have. We don't understand that it's contracts in place, that this whole construct, United States of America, is a contract. And it's laws to set down through through the Constitution and other instruments. And you have to know how to utilize those instruments and use them against them to keep them bound and checked by their oath and affirmation. And that's what this is about. So everything that's been put in place is by legal means. So it's because it's corporations, everything, the statutes that they're placing on the people, that the people are voluntarily accepting, are for corporations. So people don't understand that. So that's the purpose of this discussion today, dealing with in income tax and somewhat on the Social Security issue. Because a lot of people, we just buy into it. We've been taught in ways, and we follow the ways of those before us. So if your mother was a Christian and her mother was a Christian, then you just born a Christian. If they was a Jew, you were just born a Jew. You know, Muslim, you just born a Muslim. And people don't teach roundness. People don't teach wellness, you know, being round. You know, it's 360 degrees. How you gonna be round and you just given one thing? And then you taught to discriminate on anything that's not doing that. So that doesn't give you balance in life. That's disharmony. You growing up in disharmony already because you're seeing people the wrong way. You're looking at life and things the wrong way because you're judged. You're judgmental. You're prejudiced. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, your people didn't say, hey, take all these books. You know, it's a bunch of books in the world. Matter of fact, it's more than these. These are the three major religions, but it's a lot of books. I just want you to study. Son, daughter, I just want you to study. I just want you to read these. You know, take your time. If something good for you, talk to me about it. If it's something you don't like, we'll go over it. And, you know, it's just like the digestive system. It takes in what's good, hey, and what's bad comes out in waste. Hey, and then, you know, the good part goes to the body, the waste comes out. So that's why you can't be, you know, scared to journey. Excuse me, I was cleaning up something there, that little noise. You can't be scared to journey and read other stuff. Oh, this is the only truth and nothing but the truth. Man, you go bound the creator to one book. Each religion go say, this is the only truth and nothing but the truth. Man, you go bound the creator to a book, one book, in one way. Man, it's many ways. Man, you can look at a tree. You can pull a tree up and see that. Man, you see the tree, all the different branches and limbs that branch off of it. That's showing you what's underneath, the same thing. Yeah, it's rooted in together, though, but there's all kinds of roots on there. They all spread it out all kinds of ways, going all kinds of directions. So we just got to understand that, man. And so, like again, I thank y'all for tuning in to the Morning Drift with Suleiman Bey. Don't forget to check us out at Instagram at the Legal Empowerment Group. Got your do-it-yourself kits over there. Information to help you with credit repair and business formation for fundability. I'm not just talking about anybody who go get a business form. We're talking about forming your business so it will be fundable. When people will be sending you that guala. Sending you that bag that you're chasing. You see, these people got business and you're still chasing the bag, but they will give you the bag if you just sit down and set it up right. You know, if you get it set up right and you demonstrate and walk right, you know, for 3 months, 6 months, you know, you start demonstrating and walking right, then you can get things that you want, you know, on them, you know, on your business, you know, people to give it to you. But if not, then you just keep spending your black dollars and you just keep staying in that position. You just have a little mom and pop store. You have a dollar store that's a 50-cent store. You know, you do stuff like that. You have a little stuff, but you won't have the inventory that you really need to thrive because you're spending your money and, you know, you ain't trying to be risking liable a lot of your money. But that's what corporations are for. That's what persons are for. That's what straw men are for. You know what I'm saying? You set up a corporation so you won't be liable. You know what I'm saying? Limited liability. So we got to understand the game is what's been playing. So today we're dealing with income tax is voluntary. All right. This is a page I pulled up. I'm going to be reading from by Moses G. Washington. I'm going to be reading this paper from some excerpts from his paper. And then I'm going to be reading Correcting the Position of the IRS and Social Security Contribution Tax by Sister Anadel. So, all right. So that's what I'm going to be reading some stuff from those two places to give you understand what income tax is, what Social Security is, and who's supposed to be paying and who's not. Because wordplay, y'all, wordplay, understanding words. Listen, you have to have Black's Law Dictionary. To have law dictionaries in your library, in your house. You have to have the U.S. Constitution in your house. You have to have the state constitution in your house. So you can see how the state constitution and U.S. constitution is congruent. When you go look at the Bill of Rights, you need to look at those. Look at your state Bill of Rights. Look at the constitution. Look at the Bill of Rights. Look at what's in these sections and what's in what it's saying and what it's not saying and who it's speaking to and who it's not speaking to and who it was made for and not. These people took oaths and affirmations to these contracts. Did you? Did you take oath and affirmation to that contract? I don't want to think that you did, but some people did. So you got to study it. You got to study it to see if they're in order. You know what I'm saying? You got to study it to see if they're in order or out of bounds, because all the time you've been made to believe that you're out of order, but it's not you that's out of order. You know what I'm saying? So that's how that goes. Also, check us out at LegalEmpowerMentGroup101.com. That's the website. Go in there and leave your information. We'll get back to you on that. And then the nonprofit, the 501c3, totally 100% tax deductible. So when you send that, you get that receipt. You send that with your taxes, and that's how that goes. You do not donate it to a tax deductible charitable corporation. So that's at health.info. That's the word health, and you have to put the dashes with it because it's not gonna pop, the website not gonna pop up. So it has to be health.info, and that's your donation. You can do it one time, you can do it weekly, you can do it monthly, you can do it yearly. And you can get blessed. You can give somebody bless you. Bam. You can bless somebody else. And you'll bless a whole lot of people in different ways. You know, so those trucks are moving in two states. Those trucks are moving in California and Texas. And them trucks hitting them hoods. So you can believe that. And when somebody drop it off to us, we drop it off to y'all, to the hoods near you. So that's how that go. So check us out on those forms. Don't forget to go to QueenKitty.net for your feminine hygiene line. You want to check that out. And at QueenKitty at Instagram. That's Queen, K-I-T-T-Y. Well, you know, it ain't one of them. And I forgot to tell y'all. Yeah, she told me it ain't one of them round kitties. It's them kitties that, she told me it's the kitties that roar. Yeah, okay. It's for them kitties that roar. So it ain't for them little meow kitties. Yeah, it's for them V12 kitties. Them little putt-putt, them jalopy kitties. This is for them V12 kitties. So queenkitty.net, queenkitty at Instagram for that. That's Miss Tay Bay product line over at Legal Empowerment Group. She's been doing some good work, too, over there. So check that out over there with the do-it-yourself kits and stuff to see if there's some little tools you can use, you know, to add to your arsenal. You know, you might have to come to one person. One people for everything, because everybody don't have everything. You got to do a lot of studying on your own, but you could grab bits and pieces from people. You could give props when you do that. Say, okay, man, somebody gave me some good games, some good news I could use, man. Check them out, you know. It might not have been much, you know, but you can't overlook that, you feel me? Because that's what you want people to do for you, to spread it. Okay, so we go get into the boy Moses G. Washington. This is income taxes is voluntary, so I'm going to get into that and read some of that, some news about that, and we'll pop it like that, right? Okay. In this article, let me grab my gargoyles. Yeah, let me put on my spectacles, man. You know, I got to keep, you know, the older you get. Yeah, but the lights start dimming in one way or another, so you might keep them going on in one way, but they're going to start dimming, yeah. So it's going to start slowing down. Going down, ain't gonna be the same like it used to be, you know. So, yeah. Okay, there we go. In this article, we will explore the evidence that indicates that the vast majority of Americans do not lawfully owe income taxes. Once you become convinced that you don't owe any income tax, the next question is, how do you unvolunteer? So this article will also address techniques that may allow you to unvolunteer. Authority to tax. This is why you need a constitution. The stuff I'm going to be reading to you is in the constitution. So there is one Black's Law Dictionary that I know for sure because I have it that has the constitution in it. So you can get two birds in one. You have the house, you have your house with your Black's Law Dictionary, and you have your constitution right in the back of it. So you teach you and your children. Yeah, right, all of y'all, right at the same time. All right, and that's the seventh edition.
abridged, seventh edition. So you get the seventh edition by Brian A. Garner. Get that one. The seventh edition got the Constitution in the back, so you go study, because the Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and they have to oath an affirmation to be bound by that. So that's how you keep them in check. Okay? First, discuss the authority of the federal government to tax Americans. The Constitution allows Congress the power to lay and collect two kinds of taxes, direct taxes and indirect taxes. There are two authorities in the Constitution delegating this power of direct taxation given to Congress. Representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the states, which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers. Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 of the Constitution. No capitation or other direct tax shall be laid unless in proportion to the census or enumeration herein before directed to be taken. Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4. A direct tax is one levied directly on an individual, that is, poll tax, capitation tax, or their property, for example, property taxes. This means that direct tax is a property rights issue because Americans have inalienable rights to their person and their property. Your person or property cannot be federally taxed with a direct tax. Okay, did you hear that? This restriction does not apply to the states. So states can impose a direct tax on your person or your property, that is, property tax. Also note that the inalienable right of property also includes the income from that property. This means the federal government cannot directly tax the income from your person or your property. The Constitution says direct taxes must be apportioned among the states. This means to distribute or allocate proportionately. That's from Webster. It means the tax must be divided up equally among the states based on their population. That is one of the reasons a census is taken every 10 years. So the power to lay a direct tax on the people and or their property was not delegated to the federal government. In practical terms, this means that the states become the collecting agency for direct taxes for the federal government. If Congress wants to raise $10 million, it divides that amount proportionally among the states based on their population. The state legislators would then collect the necessary monies. The states will be required to assess and collect their proportion of the direct taxes apportioned to it by Congress and to forward the revenue to the Department of the United States Treasury. Notice that the state must assess the tax. Rendering assessment of a direct tax is the function of the government, not the taxpayer. To require a citizen to self-assess a direct tax involuntarily by filling out a Form 1040 is a violation of the 13th Amendment, prohibiting against involuntary servitude. The Supreme Court has ruled that the machinery or instrumentality which ascertains the amount of tax due is the government agency whose action is called an assessment. For direct taxes, if there is no assessment made by the government, there is no liability to pay the tax. Anyone who files a tax return, Form 1040, is assessing himself. They are also declaring under penalty of perjury that the information provided on the tax return is true, complete, and correct. So filling out a tax return and remitting payment of any amount of revenue is a voluntary act. Although Congress has the power to lay direct taxes, it has not done so since the Civil War. Some people think the 16th Amendment removed the apportionment feature of direct tax. This is not true. Even if direct taxes did not have to be apportioned, the tax must still be applied to the states, not to the individual people. This means that all federal taxes currently in effect are in the class of indirect taxes, including the income tax. An indirect tax is one laid on taxable activities. Some activities are taxable and some are not. This kind of tax is usually passed on to consumers. The authority to levy an indirect tax is also found in the Constitution. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. But all duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform throughout the United States. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1. First note that indirect taxes must be uniform. This means that all subjects in a taxable category or class will be taxed at the same rate. If the tax on distilling alcohol is 5% of the net income, then all distilling of alcohol must be taxed at the same rate. Next, notice that this section of Constitution lists three kinds of indirect taxes, including only excess duties, imports, or tariff, excise, tax laid on manufacture, sale, or consumption of commodities, or upon license to pursue certain occupations, or upon corporate privileges. And that's from Black Law Dictionary, 5th edition. That's the excise tax. This includes, but is not limited to, taxes on products such as cigarettes and liquor. It would also include taxes on corporations. Duties on imports. This term signifies not merely a duty on the act of importation, but a duty on the thing imported. Black's Law Dictionary, that's the 5th edition. Tariff, the list or schedule of articles on which a duty is imposed upon their importation into the United States, with the rates at which they are severally taxed. That's from Black's Law. Bill. See, this is all about importation. It's all about bringing stuff in to the United States. This is defining what duties and imports, what tariff is. Okay? We just defined excise. All right? Nothing to have to do with you and I. A tax on duties, imposts, and excises is not on the person, capitation tax, engaged in an activity, and it is not on the income, property received from an activity, but it is on the activity itself. And this taxable activity is a privilege that is granted and regulated by the government. The tax rate is imposed on that activity is determined by the income produced by that activity. The income is just a guideline for determining the amount of tax. The tax is not on the income. Listen, the important distinction for an indirect tax is that it is a tax on an activity. It is on something you do. You can avoid the tax by not engaging in the activity. These three forms of taxation are referred to as voluntary or privilege taxes because the activity which is taxable is engaged in voluntarily and as a privilege granted by the government. It does not cover activities which are exercised by citizens as a natural, constitutionally secure right. The income itself is not taxed. It is the activity that produces the income that is taxed. And that activity is always a taxable, privileged activity. For example, a gasoline excise tax is not on the gasoline. It is on the sale of the gasoline. Gasoline is property, not an activity. Property can only be taxed with a direct tax. It's the sale of the gasoline that is taxable an activity. The amount of the indirect tax is usually passed on to the consumer as the tax is included in the price of the product. An easy way to remember the distinction between direct and indirect taxes is to correlate them to inalienable rights and privileges. Inalienable rights, some people say alienable, inalienable, so I use them interchangeably. Inalienable rights exercised by an individual can only be taxed directly with the capitation, head tax, or a direct tax apportioned among the states. A capitation tax is on your body, which is your personal property, and is imposed on the state where the people live, not on the people directly. Indirect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises are applied to privileges, and they must be taxed uniformly. The tax is not on the people or the property because these can only be taxed directly through apportionment. Therefore, the tax is called indirect because it is on a privileged activity, such as the manufacture of alcohol, but the tax is indirectly passed on to the people buying the alcohol. Any tax on a company activity is really passed on to the customers. That makes it an indirect tax. If the Supreme Court had ruled that the income tax was a direct tax, it would be unconstitutional because it is not apportioned. However, the following case shows that the Supreme Court has ruled that it is an excise tax, which makes it constitutional. The conclusion reached in the Pollock case recognized the fact that taxation on income was in its nature an excise, entitled to be enforced as such. Brusher reversed in the Pacific Railroad. An excise tax is not on property, but is on privileges, privileges granted by the government. Before you can be liable for an income tax, you must be exercising a government privilege that is producing income. The question to ask here is, when I receive income, am I receiving it in connection with the exercise of an inalienable right or in connection with the exercise of a government privilege? What is the source of that income? And is there a tax imposed on that source activity? The Internal Revenue Code, IRC, in Section 61, lists items of income from taxable sources, whatever that source may be. If the items of income are received in connection with the exercise of an inalienable right, the source, then income can only be taxed with a direct tax with apportionment among the states, meaning uniformly, how they tax them the same, not individually. If the items of income are received in connection with the exercise of an excise tax activity, a privilege, the source, then that income can be taxed with an indirect excise tax on the privileged activity that produces income. So you see the difference? Is your income received from the exercise of an inalienable right or from the exercise of a privilege? So you going to work, is that your inalienable right or is that a privilege? So you paying a tax on what you wish your inalienable right, and that's your right to go work and make a living for your family, the life, the pursuit of life, liberty, and to have happiness. You have the right to that, huh? Okay. Okay, it says, what is the source? To stack the deck in their favor, the federal government always presumes that your income was received from an excise taxed activity, unless and until you claim otherwise. Just like they go assume or presume the type of person you are is a U.S. citizen, which is the artificial person, until you claim, and stand up and let them know otherwise that you're a natural person. That's just like when you just go be a consumer and you just buy stuff. If you let them know you're a consumer, you let them know you're a natural person, that's different from you just making cash, buying cash purchases. Mm-hmm. Different kind of credit transactions that you're entering into, whether they're opening in or consumer credit transactions. But the language itself is going to dictate how you treat it and what rights pertain to you.
Bear witness to that. Okay, so where was that? Right here. Okay. You may wonder how you can know if an activity is a government-granted privilege. The answer is simple. If a license or certificate is required by law in order to engage in the activity, the activity is essentially a privilege which is subject to indirect tax. So you drive with a license. You might drive with a license. I don't drive. Right. I travel. And I got the right to travel. See, but you drive and you're taxed for driving, and that's a privilege that's granted to you. See? So you gotta follow all kinds of jurisdiction. I could speed if I want to. They could pull me over and the ticket ain't gonna mean nothing. If they give it to me, they gonna pay for that. Because they in violation, because I'm not harming nobody by driving. The state is a fiction. And you are instrument of the state, pulling me over, working, trying to pull, extort fees for me for the state. And I'm not a party to that contract. Yeah, I don't got to, who I got to be? What crime I committed? It's a traveling violation that you pull a person over, an infraction, which is not a arrestable offense. I don't got to tell you who I am. I ain't under arrest, under no suspicion, nothing. And I ain't hurt or harm nobody. And ain't no witness against me. Yeah. Y'all better wake up and just go look at the codes and understand who is who and who is not. And look at the ID requirements of what ID is and what is not. You keep using this stuff to keep getting you, putting you under somebody's jurisdiction. That's what's getting us caught up. Okay. Okay, here we go. And so again, if a license or certificate is required by law in order to engage in the activity is essentially a privilege which is subject to indirect tax. Said another way, the activity will be illegal without the license or certificate issued by the government. You hear that? That's right. It will be illegal. Without the license from the government, it will be illegal. With direct taxes, the assessment of the amount to be paid is made by the individual who, with the government's permission, has engaged in the taxable activity, which is the subject of the tax law.
Mm-hmm. Getting into it ourselves. And real quick, while we're on Blog Talk Radio, the Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey, I just want to give shout outs to all the people that's following. I want to give a shout out to people in China, in Canada, in the Netherlands, in Denmark, in Malaysia. Let me see. Let me hit on the other spots that's lit up. The Czech Republic. Yeah, I see y'all. I'm going to learn each one of y'all word from each one of y'all spots. I got you, Denmark. Yeah, Netherlands, United Kingdom. What's that right there? Real little island. Ooh, right there. Yeah, that's in the United Kingdom. Yeah, see y'all, Canada, Alaska. Yeah, everybody who in here who been dipping through Peru. I see you. Yeah, South America. Yeah. in northwest and southwest of Mexum. I see you down there in southwest of Mexum. Yeah, see you down there in Peru. Okay, so let me get back over here. So again, said another way, the activity will be illegal without a license or certificate issued by the government. Okay, with indirect taxes, the assessment of the amount to be paid is made by the individual who, with the government's permission, has engaged in the taxable activity, which is the subject of the tax law. A crucial question must, let me hit this H2 real quick. You got that cotton mouth. You don't know about that? You got that cotton mouth. Wake it up. That third eye. And that third eye stay open, lurking. Trying to see through it all. You know that. Let's see. A crucial question we must ask is labor, or the income from labor, wages, considered property? Or is the receiving of income a taxable activity? Is converting labor to cash a privileged excise taxable activity, or is it an inalienable right? Is labor a is labor and cash both something you own? All these are questions. Or something you do? What about a tax on income received from your labor when your occupation does not require a license? Is labor a privileged taxable activity? Or is labor an inalienable property right that can only be taxed with a direct tax? Again, to the Supreme Court. Here we go. In our intercourse with our fellow men, certain principles of morality are assumed to exist, without which society would be impossible. So certain inherent rights lie at the foundation of all action, and upon a recognition of them alone can free institutions be maintained. These inherent rights have never been more happily expressed than in the Declaration of Independence, that new evangel of liberty to the people. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That is so plain that their truth is recognized upon their mere statement that all men are endowed, not by edicts of emperors or decrees of parliaments or acts of Congress, but by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. That is, rights which cannot be bartered away or given away or taken away except in punishment of crime, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and to secure these, not grant them, but secure them, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Among these inalienable rights, as proclaimed in that great document, is the right of men to pursue their happiness, by which is meant the right to pursue any lawful business or vocation, in any manner not inconsistent equal to others, which may increase their prosperity or develop their faculties, so as to give them their highest enjoyment, the common business and callings of life, the ordinary trades and pursuits, which are innocuous in themselves and have been followed in all communities from time immemorial, must therefore be free in this country to all alike upon the same conditions, the right to pursue them without let or hindrance, except that which is applied to all persons of the same age, sex, and condition, is a distinguishing privilege of citizens of the United States and an essential element of that freedom which they claim as their birthright. It has been well said that property which every man has is his own labor, and it is the original foundation of all other property, so it is the most sacred and inviolable. The patrimony of the poor man lies in the strength and dexterity of his own hands, and to hinder his employment, he is employing this strength and dexterity in what manner he thinks proper, without injury to his neighbor, is a plain violation of the most sacred property. Butchers Union Company versus Credit City Company, 111 U.S. 746, 1883. Them cases, I'm still on the books. That's why you get them Supreme Courts. Yeah. Included in the right of personal liberty and the right of private property, partaking in nature, is the right to make contracts for the act of property. Chief among such contracts is that of personal employment, by which a labor or other are exchanged for money or other forms of copage versus Kansas, 36 U.S. 1950. The Supreme Court has ruled that your labor is your most sacred property, and it is the best of all other inalienable property rights. Can inalienable right tax this privilege granted by the government? Neither legally. Maybe Congress, when they passed the income tax laws, meant labor to be taxed. But remember, Congress cannot legislate away part of the Constitution. They can only pass laws that are in accordance with the Constitution, because the Constitution is where Congress gets its authority. See? Yeah, gotta know who the boss is. If Congress could vote out the Constitution, you'd have no rights. Congress, the legislative body responsible for writing the tax code, understands that the income tax is really an excise tax. Here we go. So the Amendment 16 made it possible to bring investment income within the scope of the general income tax law, but did not change the character of the tax. It is still fundamentally an excise or a duty with respect to the privilege of carrying on an activity or owning any property which produces income. The income tax is therefore not a tax on income as such. It is an excise tax with respect to certain activities and privileges which is measured by reference to the income they produce. The income is not the subject of the tax. It is the basis for determining the amount of tax. Record, House, March 27, 1943, page 25, 2580. Most recent evidence indicates that Congress understands that the income tax is really an excise tax. The Supreme Court, in a decision written by Chief Justice White, first noted that the 16th Amendment did not authorize any new type of tax, nor did it repeal or revoke the tax clauses of Article 1 of the Constitution quoted above. Direct taxes were, notwithstanding the advent of the 16th Amendment, still subject to the rule of apportionment, and indirect taxes were still the subject of the rule of uniformity, meaning everybody got to be on the same scale. Rather, the court found the 16th Amendment sought to restrain the court from viewing an income tax as a direct tax because of its close effect on the underlying property. From a report of the Congressional Record Research Service, report number 84-168A, 784/725, titled Some Constitutional Questions Regarding the Federal Income Tax Law, dated May 25, 1979, and updated September 26, 1984, page 5. So since the income tax is an excise tax on privileged activities, how can it be mandatory unless you engage in privileged activities? According to the Supreme Court, it isn't mandatory. Our system of taxation is based upon voluntary compliance and self-assessment and not upon distraint force. Florida versus U.S., 362 United States 145 at 176, 1960. So the Supreme Court is saying that the income tax voluntarily taxes voluntary and it is self-assessed. The IRS also knows that the income tax system is voluntary. On page 3 of the 1993 instructions for Form 1040, there is a note from the commissioner of the IRS indicating that the income tax is voluntary. It says, dear taxpayer, thank you for making this nation's tax system the most effective system of voluntary compliance in the world. How do you volunteer to participate in the income tax? We will see later that you volunteer a party by filling out a W-4 with your employer. How do you assess yourself the tax? You fill out a Form 1040 and sign in under penalty of perjury that what you have reported is true. Okay. So I wanted to lay the foundation with him, but I do want to get into the sister because the sister don't play. And that's real. I'm gonna get into the sister book and go into some stuff. Okay, Violet, I'm gonna go into this is from a book called Correcting the Position of the IRS by Sister Vanada L. All right, and the sister is very well rounded and learned, and she teaches her books very in depth. I recommend anybody to go to RV Bay Publications and get them books to through there. Any of them books coming out of there, smoking fire. You hear me? Yeah, you go teach your whole family with them books. We got a library here. Yeah, we got a library full of them. And we send them to the prisons and everything. But anyway, voluntary agreement and use of W-4. The use of the words the person making and the person receiving such other type of payment relates to non-federal employers and employees who voluntarily agree to such withholding. Federal Regulation Number 31.3402P1 states, subsection 31.3402P1, voluntary withholding agreements. That's the name of the chapter. Go pull it up for yourself. This is in the Internal Revenue Code, okay? In a general, an employee and his employer may enter into an agreement under Section 3402P to provide for the withholding of income tax upon payments of amounts described in paragraph B1 of subsection 31.3401A3, paid after December 31, 1970. An agreement may be entered into under this section only with respect to amounts which are includable in the gross income of the employee under Section 61 and must be applicable to all such amounts paid by the employer to the employee. The amount to be withheld pursuant to an agreement under Section 3402P shall be determined under the rules contained in Section 3402 and the regulations thereunder. B. Form and duration of agreement. 1. Except as provided in subsection 2 of this subparagraph, an employee who desires to enter into an agreement under Section 3402P shall furnish to his employer Form W-4, Employees Withholding Allowance Certificate, executed in accordance with the provision of Section 3402F and the regulations thereunder. The furnishing of such form, W-form, shall constitute a request for withholding. 2. In the case of an employee who desires to enter into an agreement under Section 3402P with his employer, if the employee performs services in addition to those to be the subject of the agreement, the remuneration for which is subject to mandatory income tax withholding by such employer, or if the employee wishes to specify that the agreement terminate on a specific date, the employee shall furnish the employer with a request for withholding, which shall be signed by the employee and shall contain A. the name, address, and social security number of the employee making the request, B, the name and address of the employer, C, a statement that the employee desires withholding of federal income tax, and, if applicable, of qualified state individual income tax, see paragraph D31 of subsection 301.6361 of this subchapter, regulations on procedure and administration, and D, if the employee desires that the agreement terminate on a specific date, the date of termination of the agreement. If accepted by the employer as provided in subsection 3 of this paragraph, the request shall be attached to and constitute part of the employee's Form W-4. An employee who furnishes the employee a request for withholding under this subdivision shall also furnish such employer with Form W-4 if such employee does not already have a W-4 in effect with such employer. 3. No request for withholding under Section 3402P shall be effective as an agreement between an employer and employee until the employer accepts the request by commencing to withhold from the amounts with respect to which the request was made. Note the wording in subsections B, 1, 2, and 3 of this regulation. An employee who desires to enter into agreement, listen to the word, and request for withholding, desires withholding, and mutually agree upon, all of which clearly and unambiguously show the voluntary nature of the entire withholding system. So as I was reading it, I was making emphasis on that. You see what it's saying, request for withholding, who desires to enter into agreement. You see, you got to read the language now. You know what I'm talking about? The significance of a Form W-4, Employees Withholding Allowance Certificate, is clearly explained in this regulation, which states, the furnishing of such Form W-4 shall constitute a request for withholding. The printed heading on the Form W-4 confirms the voluntary nature of withholding. It states employees withholding allowance certificate. If withholding were mandatory, why would the form be called an allowance certificate? To allow means to permit. If the law required the withholding of tax from your pay, no permission or request form would be needed. See, we don't even think. You think people have, they say, common sense. Common sense is not that common. People been dumbed down, man. Yeah, they have. To have a non-clear meaning heading, the words could be rearranged to employee certificate allowing withholding. Regulation Section 31.3402P2 states, an agreement, Section 3402P, shall be effective for such period as the employer and employee mutually agree upon. However, either the employer or the employee may terminate the agreement prior to the end of such period by furnishing a signed written notice to the other. Y'all better get hip. Unless the employer and employee agree to an earlier termination date, the notice shall be effective with respect to the first payment of an amount in respect of which the agreement is in effect, which is made on or after the first status determination date, January 1st, May 1st, July 1st, and October 1st of each year, that occurs at least 30 days after the date of which the notice is furnished. If the employee executes a new Form W-4, the request upon which an agreement under Section 34P is based shall be attached to and constitute part of such new Form W-4. This regulation states that the agreement shall be effective for such period as the employer and employee mutually agree upon, and that either the employer or the employee may terminate the agreement prior to the end of such period by furnishing a signed written notice to the other. Therefore, it is obvious that the withholding must be requested by the employee, must be agreed to by the employer, and must be terminated by either by giving written notice to the other. The regulations merely state that the notice terminating withholding must be a signed written notice. No particular form is ever required. Now, here's the case. Where a party desires to rescind upon the grounds of mistake or fraud, he must, upon the discovery of the facts, at once announce his purpose and adhere to it. Grimes versus Saunders. Yeah, so you sitting out there, you then got home, you went on payroll, you checking in. Man, if you don't know who you is in a natural person, put them on notice, walk on away. But you go keep on checking in and keep on following their rules, that's on you. They just told you in the laws right there, where a party desires to rescind upon the grounds of mistake or fraud, he must, upon the discovery of the facts, at once announce his purpose, Yeah, declare, proclaim, and adhere to it and be who he is. Yeah, Grimes versus Sanders, 93 U.S. 55, 62. If they proposed to rescind, their duty was to assert that right promptly, unconditionally, and invasively. Richardson versus Law, 149, Fed Repub, Reporter, 625, 627, and 628. Okay. How non-government employers are deceived and intimidated. Because employers have possession and control over the employees' earnings before the money is paid over to the employees, the key to the operation of the withholding scam is the deception and intimidation of the employers to withhold money from their employees' pay, even if their employees object to the withholding. It is important to know that any compensation by the people is first and foremost the property of the people, respectively. Therefore, if said property is stolen, even by an employer who is either aware or unaware that they are acting as an agent for the Internal Revenue Service Corporation, that is theft of property, and the employer ought to be held to the American Constitution that they are bound to, that is, Article 6. This being the case, it is the responsibility of the people to enforce the Constitution, that Constitution being the American Constitution adopted for the United States of America Republic, 1791. Most employers, remember y'all, this is a republic. It's a guaranteed republic form, for the republic, my country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty. Remember they taught you that? Yeah, for the republic for which it stands, one nation under God. I know that part. See, it tells you for the republic. Republic is for the people, by the people. I mean, the people elect their officials to do their work for them. And then when they don't do what they're supposed to do for them, you get them out of there. It don't mean that the government run you. You put the people and the government officials in place. That's a republic. But a democracy, now that's an opposition. That's something totally different. How is it that the Constitution and all the states are founded on republics, but the people around here believing in republic and democracy and don't understand it? Y'all better wake up. Y'all better wake up and find out what's going on. Study. Okay, let me get on back down here now. Okay, how the government, how the non-government employees are being intimidated, okay? It is important to know that any compensation by the people of the Republic, most employers, as well as their accountants and attorneys, have never studied the IRC, that's Internal Revenue Codes, carefully enough to understand its complexity. They are not aware of the geographical and other limitations in the Social Security FICA tax and upon the withholding provisions in Chapter 24 of the Internal Revenue Code. They do not understand, as explained earlier in this article, that the FICA tax and the withholding provisions apply only within the four corporations, that is Puerto Rico, the Virgin Islands, Guam, and American Samoa. That under Chapter 24, withholding is not mandatory for either the employer or the employee, and that the withholding provisions apply only to cases where both the employer and the employee voluntarily agree to the withholding. That's why I love the sisters. They go into the sister and them, and Brother Tariq and them will go and break it down on these pamphlets. However, ignorance of the law is no excuse, and if applying the law, all agents, officers, public servants have an obligation to first protect, preserve, and secure the rights of the people. If unsure, the rule of thumb is always err on the side of the people, never the corporation. Ignorance of the law does not excuse misconduct in anyone, least of all in a sworn officer of the law. In reference to McGowan, 177, case 93, 170p, 1100. In the interpretation statute of levying taxes, it is the established rule not to extend their provisions by implication beyond the clear import of the language used, or to enlarge their operation so as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. In case of doubt, they are constructed most strongly against the government and in favor of the citizen. U.S. Supreme Court decision of Gaul versus Gaul, 245 U.S. 151, referring to the W-4 form. The employer is not authorized to alter the form or to dishonor the employee's claim. The certificate goes into effect automatically in accordance with certain standards enumerated in Section 3402 F3, United States versus Malinsky. 347 F Supplement 347 at 352, 1972. Note, 3402 F3 specifies when the certificate takes effect. In general, shall take effect on first payroll period. So you got to go through these Internal Revenue Code. You got to study what this stuff is. We thinking that we got a lot of this stuff that we're supposed to do, but we're not. Withholding of tax. In the code, there are many definitions that are limited in their applications by words such as for purposes of the chapter, okay, for purposes of the subchapter, for purposes of the subpart. Okay. In contrast, Internal Revenue Code 1402 contains definition of terms upon which there are no such limitations upon their applications, so the definitions therein apply throughout the entire IRC. Section 1402D states as follows. Section 1402D2, employee and wages. The term employee and the term wages shall have the same meaning as when used in Chapter 621. When used in Chapter 21, Section 3101 and following, relating to Federal Insurance Contributions Act. FICA. Note that the absence in this code definition of any words of limitation, such as for purposes of this chapter or for purposes of this subchapter. This definition means, therefore, that whenever and wherever the terms employee and wages are used anywhere throughout the IRC, the applications are limited to those people involved in activities within the four island corporations' possessions only. The same as in Chapter 21, the FICA tax chapter. Y'all hear that? That's for the four corporations that we just went over. Okay? Puerto Rico, Guam, the Virgin Islands, and I'm American Samoa. Okay? That's something you need to know. The Internal Revenue Code chapter, which relates to withholding, is Chapter 24, titled Collection of Income Tax at Source. It is extremely important to note that this chapter contains no section imposing any tax. Rather, the entire chapter is written to establish and authorize provisions for withholding the tax merely as a method for the payment of the taxes, which may be imposed in other sections of IRC. What employee is and is not. Whenever a tax is imposed, there is always a section containing words such as there is thereby imposed a tax. But in Chapter 24, no such wording exists in any section. So clearly the entire chapter merely sets forth the procedures for collecting taxes imposed elsewhere in the IRC by the withholding method described in the code sections of the chapter. Provisions of this withholding chapter are applicable to employees as defined in Code Sections 1402D, shown above, and 340C, reproduced here. Section 340C, employee. For purposes of this chapter, the term employee includes an officer, employee, or elected official of the United States, a state, or any political subdivision thereof, or the District of Columbia, or any agency or instrumentality of any one or more of the foregoing. The term employee also includes an officer of a corporation. State is defined as District of Columbia, Internal Revenue Code 7701A10. It is revealing that the above definition includes the term state, which is defined in Code Section 7701A10 as the District of Columbia only. What is the District of Columbia? In truth, it is a fiction superimposed over the land. The land is the inheritance of the Moors, northwest of Mexico, Maghrib al-Aqsa, America. It is fictionally comprised of the misnomer Virginia and Maryland. The corporations are located only at 1000 Bank Street, Richmond, Virginia, 23219, and 49 Bay Drive, and Annapolis, Maryland, 21403, respectively, which is the state capital for each of those states, and is the same for every state. Remember, when the colonies were established, they were, and still are to this day, forts, trading posts for commerce. Any land outside of that address is fraudulently called the state of this, the state of that, the state of whatever the state are, right? implying that the unlawful and fraudulent boundaries that the Europeans have claimed under the doctrine of discovery, inter soteria divina, has somehow been conveyed to them. This is contrary to the protection of the American Constitution, which binds all public servants to protect, preserve, and secure what? The birthrights of the people, which can never be, ever be leaned, as they are unalienable and cannot be bought, sold, or transferred. That's why you need to get to your natural self, y'all, so you can get back to your inheritance, your land. It can never be sold away. You talk about a treaty and they sold off. Man, your inheritance can't be sold off. That's your inalienable, unalienable right. Remember includes, as used in laws, is a word of confinement, not of engagement, according to the Supreme Court in Montello, Salt versus Utah, as discussed earlier. Hence, this definition is the application of the term employee to those working for the federal government, for the District of Columbia Corporation, for U.S. corporations, possessions, and officers of government-owned corporations. Okay? So, I just wanted to get into that for y'all to show. You got to go pick up the Internal Revenue Code. You got to go pick up the Uniform Commercial Code. You got to go pick up the United States States Code. Yeah, you got to go pick up the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, United States Constitution. You got to have these instruments. You got to go pick up and understand how were they formed. You know, go look at the Confederacy, the Articles of Confederation, and go look at all these different instruments and see how they was formed or who they formed with. See how they became a nation, how the people became a nation. See who gave them a first people to recognize them as a nation. It was Morocco. They didn't even have a seat at the nation table. They didn't have one. They wasn't recognized. People wasn't trying to see them. Morocco was the first ones to recognize them as a nation. And because of that friendship of peace and treaty with the United States, which they still have on record, was the oldest treaty that they have on anybody, because of that treaty, they was allowed into the table. So they owe a duty to Morocco and the descendants of Moroccans. And also they helped finance their war for them to win their independence. So they're indebted to the descendants of Moroccans, Moors. So y'all need to understand that. So in bringing this home, I thank y'all today. I thank y'all for sliding through on the morning drip. Man, it's really it's really special to have y'all, man. It's for y'all to come through and absorb what's being passed down. We got to study, y'all. Study. We got to study. The prophet did come here. Nobuddin Ali did come here. El-Hajj Sheikh Sharif Abdul Ali. Yeah, go study that name. Go study that person. And Yahshua came again and broke the Roman seal, told us you're not Negroes back of colors, told us who we were, gave us the seals, broke the seals. Then let us know the Constitution. You know, you got to be under your name. You got to be constitutional foe. You got to have a name, a government, a flag, then that constitutional foe. That's that divine instrument is divinely prepared to protect you. See, they bound. They had to take an oath and bound to that construct to do business over here. And so secretly it protects you because your ancestors, your ancestors' government, you at home. The de jure government is yours. In this hemisphere, you are at home. Martin Luther King told us the black man and woman find themselves exiled at home in his own land. Yeah, we at home. So, you know, when you say that's what's going on. So I just want to just thank y'all so much. I just want to thank y'all for coming in. And keep tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, The Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Legal Empowerment Group, LegalEmpowermentGroup101.com. Also, check us out at health.info. That's health.info for your donations and contributions. Don't forget to go to MissQueenKitty.net, and that's Queen, K-I-T-T-Y, for your feminine products, feminine hygiene products, and Queen Kitty at Instagram. And we thank y'all so much, man. Be blessed. Man, take care out there. Love each other. I mean, come up on the game. Understand what's going on, man. We are one people, one nation. Man, this world is ours. Man, we ain't trying to treat nobody wrong, but we at home, y'all. Man, stand up on that. And, man, make these people stand up and be who they are. And when you make them stand on them construct, they'll just go home. Once they can't do business no more and they store money from us, they're just going home. And then this land is your land and be ours again, and all the riches will pop up for us. It's prophecy, y'all. Man, peace, love, man, from Smile Bay at the Morning Drip. Y'all keep dipping through.